allá donde el bombillo es rojo. Y hasta olvidé que soy pobre y asalariado. Que no se note la pobreza en esta mesa. Me cuentan ellos, le decía yo al cantinero. Él muy atento, solo whisky no servía. Y que las viejas no llovían como del cielo.
Me volví un Don Juan, un Pablo Escobar.
Ese whisky, compa, me hizo sentir ricachón.
Hablé de millones, de finca y avión.
No faltó el que dijo, compita, usted que fumó. Y me bebí
lo del mercado y me bebí
lo del arriendo, lo gasté.
De whisky viejas me gasté todo el dinero.
3 días hartando entre mujeres bien buenonas. Cualquiera olvida que es pobre y que tiene hogar. Que vive arriado con lo poquito que gana. Que una bien fría la tienes que goterear. En whisky viejas gastaste el último peso. No me quedó ni pa' naranjas pa' el guayabo. Al verme limpio se me descuadró la risa. Sin que me vieran callado me fui largando.
Ya no era Don Juan ni Pablo Escobar,
a pie pa' la casa muy tarde, mire mi error.
Me volví a encontrar con mi realidad.
Qué pena llegarle a mi esposa sin pa' un limón. Y me bebí
lo del mercado y me bebí
lo del arriendo, lo gasté.
De whisky viejas me gasté todo el dinero.
No fui al trabajo al otro día, compa, y me echaron. En guayabado y sin palbus no pude ir. Me la rebusco y de cotero allá en la plaza. Echado del rancho cualquier peso ha de servir. Hace 3 meses recuerdo llegué a timbrar. Pero berraca no quiso abrir mi mujer. Por la ventana me lanzó todos los trapos. Vete a tu mermelada, compa, me mando a comer.
A volar, no me quiere ver,
ni con serenata me ha querido perdonar.
Qué vaina, compay, me tiré el hogar,
una cana al aire me tiene viviendo mal. Y me bebí
lo del mercado y me bebí
lo del arriendo, lo gasté.
De whisky viejas me gasté.
Welcome to the Grunt Free Press Podcast. This is episode 238. And we have to get the sad, tragic news out of the way right up front so we can all move forward with our lives and move on and, you know, remember and mourn. And then it's a time for mourning, then we have to move on. So let's just get it out of the way right now. I'm sure you've heard it, but I have to put in my personal condolences as well. I mean, I know everybody's thinking right now, life will never be the same, and it won't, but again, we have to put it behind us. Remember, but don't dwell on the past. So, Sunday morning, we lost a legend. I mean, although I didn't know him personally, I like to think that if we ever did meet in person, we would have really hit it off and become fast friends. We had a lot in common. I was a fan of his for years. He really shaped my childhood and gave me a role model, you know, somebody to look up to. I mean, I'll just say it. I mean, I'm screaming right now, cursing into the sky, crying into my keyboard, and I don't care who knows it. There was a helicopter crash just outside of Los Angeles, and Baby Yoda and his 13-year-old daughter are no longer with us. Yes, Baby Yoda is gone, and those are the hardest words I've ever had to write for this newspaper. And I still don't believe them, even as I'm writing them. I'm still crying. And go ahead, everybody. Let it out. Don't be embarrassed. Cry with me. Weep and wail and shout into the streets. Fill a suddenly empty Tatooine with your pain. Damn it, damn it, damn it. For the latest news and obituaries for dead celebrities and my faux hyperbolic emotional breakdowns that generate clicks, go to www.gruntfreepress.com. If you have any hot tips about people who have died, even if they're like just semi-famous, like an internet celebrity, YouTuber, I don't care. Over, you know, as long as they have over 1,000 Twitter followers, that's good enough for me. Anything like that, send them to podcast@gruntfreepress.com. Shit, even if you have to kill somebody yourself, if it's going to make me money, go there. I'm Absolute Deicide, and I'm actually Baby Yoda's puppet master. So they didn't give us Cyberpunk this month, so we took it from them. It was really there for the taking all along. So I bought and I played Blade Runner, the Blade Runner game, which was newly released on GOG, Good Old Games, GOG, as some people call it. So yeah, the Blade Runner game was originally released in 1997, and I played it back around then. Around was fairly new, and yeah, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was great. And yeah, since no new games are coming out, kind of want to see how it held up. The GOG version of it that just got released is fucking great. I'll say that. I mean, before this, I mean, the game was nearly impossible to find legally. And I'm sure there were plenty of like licensing tie-ups between whoever owns the rights to the, you know, the fucking Blade Runner movie, the original movie, the movie franchise now. The fucking original game, whoever made that. The publisher, fucking whatever, the fucking Philip K. Dick book that it was based on. I mean, that's always a clusterfuck. This thing about licensed games, even when they're good, you know what I mean? The rare ones, the rare licensed games that are good, or used to be very rare back in the day when licensed games were always considered to be shit. And they put out like a good one, and it's like, oh, it's a cool thing, but, you know, we got to fucking pull it for whatever reason, or it gets, you know, it's fucking, you know, after like a few years, it's like, oh, we want to put it out again or remaster it or whatever the fuck they want to do, put it on a different platform. But now, like, the licenses have changed and all that shit. So that's always a fucking clusterfuck. I had tried before to download it from, like, shadier sources, but I could never get it. Even if I could find it, just, like, the source file or whatever, like, the zip file for the game. I think I've tried that before in the past. I was like, oh, I found it. I'd like to play it, but it's like, it just doesn't run right for whatever reason. And I wasn't going to like rebuy like the old actual like four disc CD-ROM, like the game from like Amazon or whatever, and hope it ran after fucking Philip K. dicking around with compatibility settings on my fucking computer and all that. I mean, the PC I have right now doesn't even have a fucking disc drive, and I think like the older PC I had before this, that's like sitting right here. I think that one's like broken. I think I used it like once and it didn't work. I'm like, ah, whatever, dude. Like, who the fuck uses disk drives? Now, I wasn't going to go through the trouble of, well, I'll buy a disk drive and try to get the shit to work. It's like, I'll just wait. Like, I'll find a way to do it through like emulation or whatever. And the GOG version, it's fucking great. Uses Scum VM, which, you know, all the old Lucas Arts, a lot of the adventure games there from Lucas Arts used Scum for their engine. Interesting tidbit is that Blade Runner was not originally didn't run on Scum originally. The original code for the game, whatever they used, like whatever custom shit they used to make the game, was lost. And they actually had to take the game files and like reverse engineer it to make it run in the Scum virtual machine they used. You know, it was like a Scum emulator. It's like, well, we'll just have to use this to like make this, like, jigger it in somehow to make it work. So it's not like this is like a simple like port job. Like, oh yeah, we just took the game and like ripped the files into it. It's like they had to fucking do some work to make it run. And they really did like a fantastic job with it. Like it runs flawlessly. I mean, as far as I can tell, like it's fucking like this looks and fucking plays exactly as I remember it. I mean, just like the automatic, you know, I just fucking like ran the game. I didn't even do anything to the settings. I don't think there are many settings to even fuck around with, but just like, you know, hit play and it's like, well, it just works. It's fucking great. You know, it automatically ran in as like high a resolution as it could. You know, it still had the fucking black borders on the sides or whatever, but and there's no other way you can do that. Or, you know, it wasn't like a fucking ultra wide game. So, you know what I mean? So there's not much you can do. It's fucking like, well, it just filled up vertically, top and bottom was completely filled. It's just like, this is the black sides and the borders, but it looks fucking awesome. You have to like stretch the shit out of the fucking picture to make it like completely fill up. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Best of all, you know, there's no loading, you know, no disc swapping. It's all just fucking just plays and just runs great. Because as much as I recall liking the game, I was also having, as I was playing it, I was also having like flashbacks of it freezing a little bit and like loading every time you would move to like another screen in the game. It just hit, like, you know, did like a hitch and you'd hear the fucking like CD fucking spinning as it loaded the next area, which you do a lot, like especially towards the end of the game. When you're going like all of like every fucking location you visited, you're fucking going there again and fucking, you know, and it's like, I'm kind of like dreading like moving to the next screen. You know, there's going to be like a load and shit. But now, you know, everything's fucking instant. I think I would have shit my pants if I ran that. Yeah. You know, if the game ran that well back in the day, modern conveniences to soothe the boomer's soul. So before I get into anything else about Blade Runner, I just want to like emphasize, it looks so fucking good. You know, it's a point and click adventure game with, static screens, you know, it's just fucking, you're just going around screen to screen, but I mean, they're not really static though in Blade Runner. I guess they used, when they were making the game, they used some production art and images from that they were using in the production of the movie, and they pretty much just like scanned them in. So, you know, everything in the game just looks authentic, like it looks like it comes from the fucking Blade Runner movie, because it is more or less. And they're not like taking like film, you know, fucking film frames and like scan that. It's like, no, they just took the art that they used to like make the film and fucking use those and scan those in or whatever, or like base all the environments off the fucking art. And yeah, I mean, they went like all out to create the, like the cyberpunk, aesthetic, and you know, and Blade Runner is like the origin point for what's now considered like what everybody says, like, oh, this is what a cyberpunk thing looks like, and you know, Shadowrun and blah 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 and all that shit. Like, it all comes to Blade Runner. It's where it was first invented, you know. Lest we forget, you know, that fucking atmosphere of the movie and the game, where there's all these fucking like giant fan blades spinning and there's light shining through them, and fog and steam, and almost the entire game takes place at night, and it's, you know, always like wet or raining, and you know, neon lights and fucking 80s arcades that have like Return of the Jedi cabinets, RIP Baby Yoda again. You know, they have like Command and Conquer Red Alert arcade machines, which I don't think ever existed, obviously, but you know, it was developed by Westwood Studios, I think, that made the Blade Runner game and the Command and Conquer games. They kind of threw that in as like Easter eggs. It's like all this shit that's fucking like, dude, this looks like so, again, nostalgic, if you want to say. It was just fucking just like, dude, this looks so fucking good. You know, just like the amount of detail. Yeah, I mean, it looks pixelated. You know, they made it in whatever was considered the highest resolution at the time back then in 1997, but. So you look at it now, it's like, it's definitely pixelated. It still looked pixelated back then, I remember, but it's, you know, it's the type of pixelated that's fucking, you look at it and it's, dude, it's fucking like gorgeous. I think it's fucking like gorgeous and charming to look at now. Again, it's like not the type of art that fucking indie developers are going for now to make pixelated games, with, technology that would be like incomprehensible. You know, if they saw what we had now, like the people who made the Blade Runner game now, they'd be like, holy shit, we could just take like a fucking piece of shit computer now, something that would be considered outdated. They could fucking make a much better, like higher resolution looking version of this. But you know, it's like now you get like indie developers that have that technology. It's like, oh, we're going to make something retro, and it's just, you know, it's like, hey, I made retro pixel art just like back then. It's like you look at it, it's like, now you made some shitty blocky bullshit that looks like garbage. So yeah, I mean, some of Blade Runner holds up better than other parts of it. Like, you know, like all, I think all the actors are digitized. Like they look like Mortal Kombat characters, or I mean, it's hard to tell. That it's like sometimes they look digitized, other times it's like they're definitely hand drawn, like it's like hand drawn pixel art, or it's and the cutscenes are all like 3D CGI models or whatever. So I mean, yeah, they definitely use like a lot of different techniques and tricks and shit to make the game. You know, from a certain distance, the characters look, you know, they look like nice and crisp and clean, where it's like, oh yeah, this looks fucking so good. You know, the animation's great. Even like little things, like when a character's walking up and down, like your character in particular is like, you have him like walk up and down stairs and shit. Yeah, it's just like a really good animation. You know, it's I think they literally filmed the guy as like running up and down stairs, but they did it at like a high enough frame rate or whatever, where it's, you know, it's just like smooth, and you know, the sprite lines up with the environment, like it looks like it's there. It's not just like whatever. It doesn't look like some like Tex Murphy like blue screen garbage. It just, everything looks like it fucking fits where it's supposed to go. It's like, hey, I see that. It's like, hey, I really believe that fucking nigger there is walking up some stairs, you know? But I mean, you still do get some problems where, you know, if a character is like too far away in the background, it's like, oh, he just looks like a couple pixels. Like, you know, it's just like a little dot or whatever. And if he's too close to the camera, you can almost like count every fucking pixel that he's made out of. You know, it's just fucking, I can see everything. Yeah, I can see like everything, and it looks like jaggy and shit if it's too close to the camera. You can count every one of them, and there's not very many of them there. Yeah, and there's like a handful of instances where things do kind of look a little bit out of place, mainly fat people, now that I think about it. I mean, there's in the game, there's like a fat scientist guy who gets murdered, and when they show him the murder, it's during like a CG, you know, computer-generated cutscene. And it shows, you know, it's like, oh, the fat guy's like getting blown up by a bomb or whatever, and he's in this like anti-gravity chamber. He's floating in because he's fat, and then you know, fast food delivery guy comes in and gives him a, you know, puts a bomb down and kills him. You know, it's a fast food delivery guy again because he's fat. You know, and the cut, like the one that shows the cutscenes, they look pretty good. I mean, they're stylized. Like, they weren't really going for like photorealistic. I mean, they could have gone like full motion video, I guess. And, I don't think they would have been able to pull it off. Like, that would have been fucking like pretty dated if they did it, you know, if they did it like Command and Conquer style, where it's like full motion, you know, full motion video, just like film, like trying to like almost make a new Blade Runner movie and shit like that. It'd be like, yeah, that looks pretty low budget and shitty. Like, they did it the right way. The way they like blended the different techniques and shit, really looks fucking good. So yeah, that happens. Then you go to like the crime scene, like the normal game engine for where this fat guy just blew up. And again, so, you know, you look, it's like, oh, the background looks great. You know, there's all these fucking like wires and computers and shit everywhere. It looks really good. And you know, spotlights everywhere. And, you know, your character looks great. Now there's some random guy like walking around the chamber where the body is, taking pictures from like the police force or whatever. So yeah, that guy looks fine. Like everything looks good, and you look at the dead fat guy that got fucking murdered. And it's just like a blur of fucking pixels. It's like what the fuck is that? You can't even tell. It's almost like they wanted to censor. Oh, he was looking at it again. I'm like, are they trying to like censor? Is that like an effort to like censor like the blood or whatever? Or you know, because his fucking corpse is supposed to be all fucking bloody and exploded or whatever, but. Or I'm like, is that supposed to be a blanket that's over him? It's just like this undefined just blob of pixels. So, I don't know. Then you go to like a fucking Jamaican restaurant and there's a fat Rasta lady there. And once again, you can barely make out what you're looking at. Just her. I mean, they're both fairly big characters. You know what I mean? No pun intended, like size wise, like in the game, and they're fat people. So, I mean, like the scientist is like, when he dies, it's like a major plot point. And again, as you're investigating that, like, you kind of have to go speak to this, fat Rasta lady, like multiple times you go back to her. So, you know, she has like lines and shit. She's like a speaking character and shit. So, I don't know, like, why, again, in a game that looks this good, why, like, these two characters that it's not, again, it's not just like, oh, some little mistake in the background to be like, yeah, whatever, you know what I mean? But it's like, fucking, they knew you're gonna have to go, like, see this. Like, this is, like, after a major cutscene, you're going to do this. It's like a crime scene investigation, which leads you to this fucking lady. And it's like, why do these two just, like, look, stand out as looking bad, like, compared to everything else? Maybe the game is just racist against fat people. I don't know. Yeah, because almost everything else is fucking, like, spot on. I mean, again, for considering the resolution limitation, it's like, oh, it looks good. And again, even when it's fucking, like, pixelated, it still looks good. Like, it's pleasant to look at. And it's like, hey, those two fat people look bad. So, yeah, Blade Runner is pretty unique as far as making a game based on a movie. They didn't go the route where they try to, like, recreate the film scene by scene. In the game, you play a different Blade Runner, not Deckard. You're Ray McCoy, who has very similar mannerisms to fucking Deckard. Even, like, dresses the same, you know, the same trench coat and shit, and, like, tie and all that shit. He goes to a lot of the same places that Harrison Ford did in the movie. Talks to a lot of the same people. He has the same problem going on there, where there's a gang of rogue androids led by one with this kind of like the same plan and philosophy as Rutger Howard's character. That's who played the guy, right? I always want to say it's Sting, but that's from Dune. Two blonde, skinny guys. But it's the same basic thing. I mean, McCoy's humanity gets called into question in the game, and it's kind of left ambiguous of whether he's a fucking replicant or not. But it's not like a straight adaptation of the fucking movie, kind of. I mean, if you want to look at it like straight, like technically, it's like the events in the game are supposed to happen around the same time as the events in the movie, where it's kind of like parallel going on as the movie. They even like mention Deckard by name, where if you fucking, you know, you'll show up at some like crime scene somewhere, you know, you'll show up like the Tyrell Corporation, they're like, oh, Deckard was just here and blah, 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 or some shit. It's like, all right, like that's just kind of, you know what I mean? Yeah, if you take it as face value like that, it's kind of, it'd be kind of ridiculous. I'm like, oh, well, there's two rogue gangs of fucking replicants doing the same shit around the same time, and there's also a very similar fucking Blade Runner doing the same type of shit. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's kind of ridiculous, but you look at it more like a alternate version of the Blade Runner movie. Another alternate version, you know, on top of like the director's cut and the fucking final cut and the 50 other versions they released for Blade Runner. And I was like, hey, Blade Runner, the game, that's a different, like a different type of, story. Yeah, I mean, and the game also has McCoy doing like the, noir voiceover thing that was in the original cut of the movie, where, you know, Harrison Ford had the voiceover through the entire thing. They erased it out. They cut that out completely out of like the newer versions, because people said it was too exposition heavy and kind of on the nose, where he's explaining everything, and they're saying like, oh, Harrison Ford sounded like he was half asleep, or he was bored when he was recording those lines. He didn't care or whatever. But I actually kind of liked the voiceover that was in the original one. Like, it made it even seem like more of like an old hard-boiled detective film. And I think like the point of, you know, Harris, like, oh, Harrison Ford was bored. I thought like the point was for him to sound like that, like for Deckard to sound like flat, like the narrators kind of did in those films. Plus, it kind of added to the ambiguity about whether he was like a replicant or not, which, you know, the later versions kind of threw in your face that, yeah, he was, you know, like the fucking, what, the final or director's cut was just like, oh, yeah, he pretty much is. Like, you know, they had like the, that unicorn dream sequence or whatever the fuck it was. But in the Blade Runner game, it starts off, like all good stories, with animal murder. Somebody with a Fred Durst goatee and a trench coat walks into a pet shop and he breaks the owner's arm, and Fred Durst and his gang shoot the place up. And then, you know, you play McCoy, you go to investigate it, and I actually really like the when the game's just being like a detective. Like a detective game, you know, like the investigation procedure. I mean, that obviously works really well. Like, you know, it's like a traditional point and click adventure type of thing where it's just fucking, you just go to a place and you're looking for clues and shit. You know, you're looking for pretty much anything that you can run the cursor over, but the cursor is going to turn green. It's like, well, there's something more to this you can click on and fucking investigate it. You're pixel hunting to an extent, but because the graphics in the game are so damn fucking good, it's like you can look at it and just tell, like, okay, well, that looks kind of out of place, and, well, that looks important, like, that's highlighted and all that shit, but with, like, light, or it just, like, sticks out. For the most part, I mean, it's consciously designed so that the most important clues that you can find will stick out really well. And then it's like, you know, you can just go by that, or then you can really, if you want to just look at a scene and just kind of like take your time and like really like go over with like for the fine tooth comb with the cursor, you can find like extra shit and extra little clues lying around, or, you know, ask somebody, you know, find a clue, then go back and ask somebody like a different question, and it'll add more to it, and you'll get more information, which is cool because there are alternate paths to take through the game, and certain elements of it are randomized each playthrough. So yeah, I mean, just kind of like, I played this game before, you go through and like, I was going to try to like speed run it or whatever, and just fucking, I was going to skip through all the dialogue and not care about all these extra clues and just fucking do the main shit and go the main path. You might assume that somebody's a replicant because they were in like the previous playthrough. It's like, oh, well, this time they're not, you know what I mean? You found a clue that said they weren't or whatever, a different scene played out. And if you kill a human, it's game over, man. That's the wrong movie, but you know, like at the animal murder scene, you find, you know, the first one you go to, you know, you're outside and you see like, you know, the storefront's fucking bro, the door's open, there's police tape all around it, there's crowds behind barriers and shit, and you're just like looking around for, you know, just investigating, clicking on shit, and it's like, okay, well, you know, there's a fire hydrant there, and you see like black paint smudged on it, so it's like, okay, so again, it's just like automatic. It's not just like, hey, there's fucking black smudge on a fire hydrant and that's it. It's like, fuck, everything's like internalized again, like the monologue or whatever, yeah, the like the voiceover narration is, you know, it's like, oh, black paint, this must be a black car here, so you know you're looking for a black car, a land car too, because it was low enough to hit the fucking hydrant, so it was like, well, it's a car that has wheels, which is pretty rare for the far flung Blade Runner future of 2019, I think the game takes place in. You know, and then there's like a cop walking around, you can talk to him, and he's interviewing all the civilians that are there, that are behind the barrier. Like, you don't actually go up and like do it, you know, that's below your pay grade, so, you know, like the cop's doing it, so you know talk to him, then you can go inside, interview the owner of the pet shop or whatever, and if you get more information from him, if you want, you can come out and talk to the cop and get more information after he's like talked to the civilians and gotten from shit from them, or you can completely skip that and just like get into your car and go off. Like, there's more, it's not just fucking this like linear thing you're doing. I mean, I'm sure a lot of it is just fucking pretty straightforward, like there's not shit you could really miss, but again, so if you just like take your time and you're really fucking going through it, it's like you can get a lot more shit than you would, and if you just fucking stop, I'm gonna go through and fucking try to get, just go through as fast as I can. Yeah, so, you know, you go inside and you ask the pet shop owner what happened, and apparently too, there's like a few different options in the game about how you want to play it, like how you choose your dialogue. I just kind of kept everything default and didn't really change any settings, just like whatever it defaulted to. I'm like, I'll just play it like that. I didn't want to fuck with too much. And the way it plays out normally, the way I was doing it, is you just click on like whenever there's dialogue, you just click on whoever you're talking to, and they all talk, and then McCoy just like responds, like he just kind of says what he's going to say automatically, based on it'll change like based on whatever clues you found or whatever, but it's just kind of like you don't have to manually like select the clues and ask about this or like whatever. It's just fucking like, all right, whatever you have, it's gonna play out. It's gonna be like a back and forth conversation between McCoy and whoever he's talking to. It's just, it's just like pre-scripted shit. Like, you have no control over it. But, I mean, if you wanted to, you can change that and make it more like a traditional adventure game where you're asking, you have a little dialogue box that, talk, ask to, like, all this shit. I didn't play it. I play it like that way. I just saw somebody else fucking, I'm like, oh, yeah, you could do that if you wanted to, huh? You can also like go into the menu and change like his tone, like his attitude on the fly. You can change like, all right, I'm gonna be like angry, like I'm gonna be pissed, I'm gonna be laid back or whatever. You can do like a good cop, bad cop kind of thing, which that's more interactive, I guess. Like if you want to do it that way. More video gamey for sure. Again, it just would give you more choice of how to like role play as the character or whatever. But I mean, normally I'd say it's like, oh yeah, what is this, a fucking like walking simulator? If I, a fucking, is a game or a fucking movie type of thing. But I think like for this particular game, there's always exceptions. I really liked how I had it, like the automatic, just like let it go, let it play out. It's more cinematic, and I think the dialogue was flowing more smoothly. I didn't have to like second guess what I was gonna say and what was gonna come out, like what the result was gonna be of asking a question or doing it like a certain demeanor or whatever. It's just fucking like, I don't know, just click on him and he fucking talks and back and forth, and it is what it is. I'm not gonna fucking fail. I don't think you could. I don't think you really fail the game. Like through like dialogue, I definitely fucked up as I was playing, like cut off some shit because I, whatever, just chose the wrong thing or didn't get a clue first before I talked to somebody. But that doesn't really matter. That's just cool about it. It's more like, I don't know, more, free flowing or whatever. It's more like improvisational, where it's like, you can do this. Like fucking, you might just decide to follow this set. This path, and then like fucking like, oh well, you figure out like I could have just fucking done something that would have made shit a lot easier like earlier on, but I just didn't think of it and I went to somewhere else. But it's not like you're fucking up, you know what I mean? It's just fucking like, oh, I just like made it play out a little bit differently. Like that way too. It's not like fucking, it's not like fucking like, oh, I chose to be like the bad cop in this situation, or like I didn't pick like a neutral option for dialogue and it ended up being, McCoy telling somebody he's gonna fucking rape their dog and like piss on their face, like the shit that would happen in games like L.A. Noir or like Mass Effect, where it's like, what the fuck? Like, it's not at all what I wanted to say. It's like, this way, it's like fucking, if I'm not like picking that shit, it's just fucking like, it is what it is, you know what I mean? Just roll with it. You're just focusing on like investigating and piecing together what you find, and just like guiding the story, kind of almost like you're switching off between like a traditional adventure gaming and like then for the story, like directing it more, like you're directing a movie rather than playing as fucking this character or whatever. I'm going to direct myself to a break and smoke a cigarette and drink some coffee, and I'll be back with my neutral one note monotone responses to your questions or something.
Gotta keep them separated. separated.
Hey, man, you're disrespecting me. Take them out.
You gotta keep them separated. Separated.
Hey, man, you're talking back to me. Take him out.
You gotta keep them separated.
Hey.
Separated.
Hey, man, you're disrespecting me. Take him out.
You gotta keep them separated.
And we're back. I think the first half of that might have been a little bit blown out, a little loud. I don't know what happened. I thought I tested it. Hey, there's a pretty bad Voight conf test on my part, maybe. Oh, maybe it sounds fine. Maybe this is too low. Maybe this is blown out too. I don't know. We're kind of fly by the seat of our pants here. Some would say I should probably get this shit straight after 5 years, but let me tell you, I don't know how much I can stress that I don't get. I'm just in grief for, you know, Baby Yoda. So yeah, I mean, the animal murder thing leads to people murder. You know, the replicants are going around killing scientists who are tied to the Tyrell Corporation, you know, the company who makes replicants. And you know, they're trying to extend their lifespan before they shut down. You know, they have like the automatic thing in their fucking DNA that just kills them after whatever it is, like 4 years or something like that. So, you know, they're trying to reverse that, which is very, again, very similar to what Blade Runner was about, the movie Blade Runner. You know, so, you go to the district where there's independent contractors who make their skin and their nerves and their eyes, and, you know, they have the cameo by that one Chinese guy in the freezer with the eyeball. He's just there. Doesn't really do much in the fucking game. He's just there because, you know, say, remember that guy from the movie? He's like, oh, yeah, the eyeball guy. I know him. You go to the nightclub district, set some android bitch on fire and shoot her out of a window. Not the android bitch that Deckard shoots out of a window. It's a different robot stripper. And I think the game, scene in the game actually might be better than in the movie. I think I liked it. It was better done. You follow her up into a like some sort of like film warehouse or something where she turns a projector on and that like blinds you, and you shoot it, and then, you know, once the light goes away, she's gone, and yet you follow her up to the top floor where crates of film are being stored. And she jumps out from behind a shelf with a gun, and you set the place on fire and fill her with lead. I think Quentin Tarantino might have ripped off that scene for Inglourious Bastards. Only a guy, I think the Blade Runner game did it better. Around the last third of the game or so, like, the story takes a sharp turn. Spoilers here. It's a 23-year-old game, but I'm telling you, you know, if you like Blade Runner, you like video games, and you haven't played the Blade Runner video game, which I wouldn't fault you again, because it was hard to come by until very, very recently. But I'm telling you, it's really good and worth playing. So, if you want to be spoiled, you've been warned. eventually McCoy gets framed by his boss, Guza, the fat police sergeant or whatever. And Guza puts out a bulletin that McCoy's a replicant who killed a human. And depending on your playthrough, and that actually may or may not be true. Like, McCoy might be a fucking, might be a replicant, he might be a human, or it could be left ambiguous. Like, when I played, it was still, like, fucking, it ended, and it's fucking like, oh, maybe, like, at some point you find, like, a photo of, you know, the fucking replicant gang, and they crashed, like, a moon bus or something, like, that's how they got to Earth, and, like, fucking McCoy's in the background, but then there's some, you know, you find, like, clues where it's like, well, pretty easy to doctor a photo and put shit in, so you don't know if that's like a fake photo of you, like photoshopped in or what. And it's kind of like my playthrough was left ambiguous, like you couldn't tell. It could go either way. You get set up and there's cops hunting you, and you can't use your like the cop car you were using the entire game, or it's easy just to go location to location where you're just fucking like, all right, go investigate this fucking area, and all right, I'll go back in the cop car and go across the city and go here, and like that's what you would do for the majority of the game. Then it's kind of like, well, now fucking you can't use your cop car anymore. Actually, you have to go into like the sewer tunnels and find like alternate routes to places you've already been. And there's giant rats and sewer mutants you have to shoot. Some chuds are down there. And yeah, here's actually one of those games where, I mean, the shooting isn't great in it. You're just right clicking to draw your gun and left clicking to shoot where, you know, where the cursor is. And it's not very accurate, and you know, everything you're shooting takes 50 bullets to kill, but the way it works, I think it fits in with the rest of the game, where, you know, it's, you're not really playing, you're not playing this game for action, like, it's not a fucking shooter game. So, you know, it's just, the entire game's like this moody, like, slow burn, and then, like, in, you know, a split second, you have to fucking, you know, it's like, oh, something happens, you'll, like, automatically draw his gun, or a lot, I mean, you could, like, manually like right click, and I think that draws his gun almost no matter what. But you know, you go into these fucking action scenes where it's like, okay, well, the gun's out, you know what I mean, it's fucking all of a sudden the gun's out, and you have to decide if whoever is there who's like posing a threat is like an android or not. And it's, you know, it's pretty intense, you know, it services the story and the rest of the game, like it adds to it, like even though, again, you wouldn't want to play an entire fucking game with like that kind of like shoot, like the shooter controls or whatever, but it's fucking like, oh, this works pretty well for this. I mean, there's like a shooting gallery that you can run through if you go to the police station, where, you know, you go through these different rooms where targets are popping up, and you have to like look to see if they're holding a gun or not, and just like make the decision quick to shoot them or not, and you get scored and you get like points and shit. And that's like hard to do. Like, that's hard to like get like a high score on that, you know. You know, it can be tough to spot. I mean, a lot of the guns that they're holding are like little blue pixelated fucking guns. You can't really see, and you know, it's, they're like holding it straight, it's just like a blue pixel or whatever. Especially when, like, the dummies are like far away and shit. It's like, I can't really tell until if they turn around, you can see it sticking out, but otherwise it's fucking really, really tough to see. I mean, that old like shooting gallery thing is just like an optional side thing you can do if you want to like get used to the controls of when you're in combat. You don't really get anything from doing it. It's just fucking just go and run this if you want. And there's like a high score thing on like a monitor outside. It shows like the different police officers and. Not like it really fucking matters. I mean, you can just fucking shoot fucking every civilian you see in there. It doesn't fucking matter. It's just like a training thing. I think, like, if there were sections of the actual game that were that combat heavy, it probably would suck some dick. But there's not, you know, you just fucking pull your gun out very sparingly and you maybe kill three or four people in the entire game. Hopefully they're fucking replicants. Yeah, a handful of rats and chuds. That's about it. So yeah, I mean, Blade Runner is fucking excellent. I think I would say I probably like playing it more now, like playing it now than I did, back then. Like, you know, I like my recent playthrough is more positive than even my fucking memory from back then, 20 years ago, or whatever. And that doesn't happen very often. You know, not waiting for the scenes to load or fucking having to swap discs like that. That obviously helps, but it's just fucking, I mean, just now it just looks, so different from anything that you're used to seeing in like modern games, you know, or like fake fucking, again, retro pixel art. It's like, this just looks fucking so good. And I think it does. Again, somebody else might look at it and go like, this looks like shit, but I think it looks fucking beautiful. Also remind me to look up the difference between pixels and voxels. Because I know I kept saying the game looks pixelated, but then I've also read it's like, oh, you know, to make Blade Runner, they use voxels and, to do the art and shit. I'll be honest, I don't really know what voxels means. I don't know what the fuck the difference is. So, that might have to be a deep dive on a later episode. Probably next week, because there's really jack shit coming out until Doom Eternal comes out in fucking March. So we got plenty of time here. These are more relaxed. Let's take a moment to breathe and, smell the fucking flowers. Smell the replicant flowers. In the meantime, we travel to Russia during a period of historic unrest. The infamous mutant zombie radiation outbreak of 2012, Chernobyl, the dark shadow of Chernobyl, it was called. I'm talking, of course, about the cult classic first-person shooter Stalker, Shadow of Chernobyl, which was the precursor to the 3D first-person Fallout games. I mean, Stalker is a post-apocalyptic game that I would say is pretty safe to say that Stalker was partially, at least, like tonally influenced by like the original, like Fallout 1 and 2. I'd say they looked at those like, yeah, we can do like that's gave some inspiration of how to make it, like the structure and all that. But I mean, they brought it to first-person 3D shooter type game before the actual Fallout games did, well before Fallout 3, I believe. And there are certainly some connections to the Metro games as well. Metro 2033, Last Light, Exodus, copyright. I think that a good portion of the Stalker development team, I think they went on to work on the Metro series. Like, a lot of those guys were like founders of, was it 4A Games or whatever that makes the Metro games. And they are, I mean, really, they're pretty similar. Like, you could call this a Metro. You call Stalker a Metro game, and I wouldn't argue that. Again, next week will be research week, where we find out what voxels are. We find out the history of Stalker. It's going to be absolute deicides, hardcore video game history episode. So, yeah, in Stalker, Shadow of Chernobyl, you're the Marked One, which is not the Dark Ones from Metro, the Metro games, the Marked One. So, yeah, there's a cargo truck that's full of dead bodies that is being driven from, like, more dangerous, deeper zones of the Chernobyl disaster site, like, closer to the actual nuclear plant, I'd imagine. You know, then there's, you know, just gets, there's like, they got the worst of it. And there's like different zones or whatever that they call that, you know, deep in the zone, and then like further out, so it's safer parts. You know, there's a truck driving these dead bodies from like the center of the zone. And, yeah, you're one of those bodies and you fall out of the truck. You know, you're still alive, and, a militia type survivor group finds you, Stalkers, as they call them. They nurse you back to health, and you don't know who you are or what happened to you. All you have is like a PDA on you, the personal something assistant. I forget what that acronym stands for. So yeah, you have a notebook with you, which, has some information about someone you're supposed to meet and somebody you're supposed to assassinate. John M. raped and murdered my wife or something like that. So basically you want to go back like deeper into the zone to follow your leads, kind of like Blade Runner. And along the way, you're encountering different settlements and factions that are at war with each other. And, you know, there's the raiders and military and all these different like camps and shit, different philosophies on life, kind of like Metro. So yeah, I mean the basic story in Stalker, like it's like, yeah, it's good enough. You know, it's a good enough reason to go out and like do shit. I mean, you want to find out who you are and who this guy like Steknov or whatever the fuck, whatever Russian guy he's supposed to go kill. I'm sure there's going to be some kind of twist at the end, but I haven't beaten it yet myself, so I couldn't even spoil it for you if I wanted to. But yeah, it's definitely Stalker is definitely not like a story driven RPG or anything like that. It's not like Fallout in that regard. It's not an RPG. It's almost more of like a semi-hardcore military sim, something like Arma or something like that, where the interface and the inventory system resembles something that, you know, something you'd see in like PUBG or whatever, DayZ, those fucking games. I haven't played those games, but it's fucking, you know, those games where it's fucking like, you know, you look at it and it's like all the squares and shit, and you're dragging like all these, you know, little ammo around, and you have a very strict carrying capacity where you can only carry a rifle and a pistol and some ammo and med kit and food and shit. Not much. That's about it. So it's like, you can't even, yeah, it's not like Fallout, or it's not like one of those games where you're scavenging, to like, so y'all gonna like be a pack rat and like hoard all this fucking, all these weapons and shit and go back to the vendor and sell them. Like, you just can't do that. It's just you don't have enough fucking, space or whatever. Like, you're not gonna go make a fucking living being a fucking scavenger and trading up for better weapons and armor, just because you can't load up on the weapons that you could sell. You know, you'll be fucking overloaded and you won't be able to walk. So you only bring to the zone what you need to survive. That's the path of the Stalker. That's the creed. You need fucking, it's like, oh, you gotta carry a bunch of bandages because if you get shot or scratched, you're gonna bleed. And anti-radiation shots or whatever, like some kind of anti-radiation medication. Whenever you fucking go into like a hot spot or whatever, radiation is fucking, it's like, oh, you're gonna get poisoned, you'll fucking like die like that. So you have some of those on you. There's all sorts of like anomalies around. There's, you know, you see like mini tornadoes out and about, and fucking electrical spheres or floating fireballs that shoot other fireballs at you. It's a, you know, the Chernobyl is a harsh place. You know, those Russians truly are a strong breed. Not to mention the wild dogs and zombies and monsters and shit they have to deal with every day. The progression, like the way Stalker plays out, it's a sweet spot for me. One of those games where it's kind of open world. Like, it's open world in the sense that you can go anywhere in the game at any time. And really the only thing stopping you from doing that is, you know, you'll hit like a radiation spot where you don't have like a strong enough suit, or, you know, you find like a locked door somewhere, you can't go in a bunker, you don't have like the key card or whatever, but you'd have to progress in the story long enough to get the card or whatever to do it. But I mean, you can like, however far you go, like you can, as far as I know, you can always like backtrack back to the beginning if you wanted to. But I mean, the areas themselves are like these defined hubs. You know, with like borders, it's not like a true open world where it's just, oh, I'm gonna go in the direction that the arrow's pointing and go. Like, there's like waypoints and arrows that'll show you where you go, but it's like the arrow will show you like, well, here's the exit to this hub you're in. You might have to travel like two more hubs before you get to like the area you're going to. Then you might have to like go back to like where you originally like got a quest or something to turn it in, or like get a reward or whatever. So yeah, as you go further on, further into the zone, as they call it. You know, the enemies are getting harder, but you also find like vendors with better equipment there, or you're taking it, you'll take better equipment off the bodies that you find, and you know, you kill people and you fucking probably murdered them. And you fucking like, it's like, all right, well, like right off, like one of the first things they did was like, oh shit, you know, I have like my starter pistol and whatever, and it's fucking, I pissed off the military somehow. And it's like, all right, I mean, these guys have like fucking AKs and like fucking like heavy body armor and shit. And it's fucking like, oh, there's like two of them, like just like walking in the fucking woods. And it's fucking like, oh shit. Well, they started shooting at me. I wasn't like provoking them, but I guess I'm at war with them apparently. So it's fucking like, all right, it took me a while. Ended up killing them. It's like, well, that was tough and it sucked. I wasted a lot of fucking like ammo and fucking health, you know, med packs and shit. But search the body, he's like, hey, now I have a fucking AK all of a sudden. I had to fucking, like, buy it. I just fucking grabbed it off of his body, so fuck it. It was worth it. And, you know, you kind of, like, go from there. It's like, well, this will help me out now, and that's kind of what you have to do. So, you know, as you go, that like, keeps happening, where it's fucking like, oh, this guy's really tough, but he has a fucking cool gun I can fucking just take after I kill him, so whatever. So it's, like, that kind of progression. No, it's like you can go back and do, it's like, I want to go back to like an easier area if I really wanted to, and you'll just fucking tear shit up with, you know, long range fucking high powered rifles that have scopes and shit, and you know, it's like, oh, now I have like heavy armor on, so these fucking stupid packs of dogs that were being a pain in the ass, I can just fucking run through them and kill them if I wanted to, but there would be really no need to do that. I mean, you can, but why, you know? You're not getting like XP in the game. Again, it's not like a fucking like real RPG. The closest thing that Stalker has to stats and like perks and shit are these artifacts that you find and equip, which will, like, you know, it's like, oh, this artifact, you put it on your belt or whatever, you equip it, it's like, okay, well, that will reduce bleeding or whatever, like, you won't bleed as long, you know, like, it'll stop before it gets too bad, or it's like, oh, this one, like, increases your health by, like, 400%, but it increases your, whatever, electrical, if you get shocked by, like, electricity, it's gonna, that's gonna do more damage and shit. But even with those, like those artifacts, you're going to find the better ones. And as you go further, like the deeper areas and like the deeper into the zone that you go, you're going to find with all like the other tougher enemies, it's like, well, there's also better artifacts you can get too. So, and you know, as you're playing the main missions, they're all pushing you like further and further in. So, you know, it's like, I have equipment I could use to go blow right through this fucking side quest to clear out, like, that group of wild dogs, but, I mean, the reward for that is probably going to be, like, a couple hundred dollars or something that's, like, nothing now. I'm not going to buy anything for a couple hundred dollars that's going to really help me out. Or it's like, oh, the reward's going to be, like, a way shittier pistol than what I have now, so why bother doing it? I kind of like that, you know, it's very anti-grindy, you know, I'm always a fan of that. And it shows that there was like some thought about how like the overall like structure and progression of the game is gonna be designed, you know what I mean? Yeah, it's always appreciated where it's not just like fucking, I don't know, dude, you can just have to grind for a little bit before you go on to the next area or like shit like that, or it's fucking, you're gonna be stuck here for hours until you fucking waste time, or you're gonna be over leveled. It's like, no, they're gonna give you, just the way it's set up, it's like, whatever, you know, you're gonna get whatever's giving you trouble here. Best way to do it is just kill whatever the fuck is doing damage to you and take their weapon. You know what I mean? That's the best thing to do. I will say though, like at first I thought Stalker was a little hard to get into. Just like, you know, the graphics, just the way the game played and shit. And the game was, when it first released, it was fucking notoriously janky and buggy and crashy. And yeah, again, I have played this game before, like years ago and shit. And my memory of that, like my experience at playing it, I don't know, like 10 years ago, maybe, it wasn't when it was brand new, I don't think, but whenever I had access to a computer that could fucking like run it, I was like, oh, cool, check out this Stalker game. Again, I like the fucking Fallout games, like the post-apocalyptic shit. And the game seemed pretty cool, but I remember playing it, and it was fucking, I remember playing it and it just fucking like crashing and fucking up, and I was probably like just like a few hours into it, and it was fucking like hard, and I was getting pissed off, and it's like, oh, now it crashed, and I fucking like quit, and I'm like, oh, fuck that game. And now going back to it now, visually, like, I'm sure it looks a little bit dated still, because every human character in the game looks like Counter-Strike people. I mean, they might have just fucking plucked out the character models from fucking Counter-Strike, as far as I know. Again, we'll do a deep dive next week. But But the environments, I think they're like, you look at them, it's like, oh, they're detailed, but I mean, like the textures are kind of muddy, like one of those deals where it's fucking like, ah, oh, you can look at it really quick and be like, ah, oh, this looks kind of shitty and old, but when you like fucking like get yourself in there and you're playing, it's like, okay, dude, you just kind of like go back and like, you know, I mean, after you get used to it, it's like, okay, this is pretty fucking cool. And I know there's like a million fucking mods for this game, but you know, I'm a real plain Jane, and whenever I play like old games, you know, I just want to play the fucking original game, just not broken, hopefully. That's the thing. And the Stalker actually did crash on me when I was playing it this time, and I'm like, fucking, well, this sucks if the game's still fucking like crashing. And I looked at some like patches and that type of thing, but Everything that I found was like, oh yeah, this is like a patch you should install to make the game more fucking stable or whatever. And I find like, okay, well, here it is. And I'd look at the descriptions like, oh yeah, you know, this fucking pack or whatever, this patch will make Stalker more stable. It's like, cool. And plus it also adds, you know, this fucking texture pack to make it look like a new, you know, it's like, oh, this high definition texture pack that makes it look like it's from fucking, you know, 2015 instead of fucking 2010 or whatever. You know, it's like, well, I'd just rather play the fucking 2010 looking game. Oh, you know, and then it also adds fucking, you know, it's like, oh, well, that might cause other problems. Just be warned. It might not play well with every computer or every configuration. So, blah, blah. It's like all this, like, shit you had to go through. And then it's like, fucking, it's like, oh, plus it adds, like, additional fan-made content that gives you these, like, super weapons. And plus you can now repair your equipment, which you couldn't do in the original game. So it adds all this, like, shit to make it, like, easier or whatever. It's like, I want to play just the original game. So, you know, let that fucker crash a couple times if it's going to crash, as long as it's not just like a game-breaking thing. I can't just reload a save and go through again, like whatever. You know, deal with it crashing. Give it a little more tame in my old age, I think. A little more relaxed. I guess a relaxing week, that must be what it is. Once you start playing the game for a couple hours, like your brain, your eyes just kind of like adjust, and it's still perfectly fucking playable. And overall, I'd say it still looks good in my opinion. I mean, you just get immersed in the world, and the creepy parts where you're going through underground tunnels in the dark and using your flashlight and shit, like that's still creepy. And the rundown buildings look pretty good, and the soldiers that you fight, even though they look like Counter-Strike people, they're still pretty fucking brutal sometimes. It's still tough. Like, I still think it's a pretty hard game. Hard in a weird way, where it's hard, but it's not even like a skill-based hard type of thing. It's just fucking like designed to be tough. Like, you're designed to fucking get fucked up a lot. You know, it's supposed to be like that. It can be at fucking full health and armor and shit, and some people just sneak up behind you and like one shot you in the back with a shotgun, like the blink of an eye, where it's like everything was full and now I'm just dead. And it's just like game over. You see your body fucking tumbling over. And, you know, it's supposed to be gritty and like simmy and realistic. Plus, there's zombies and chuds. Even like the first fight that you get into in the game. So it's like right from the starting area where fucking, you know, the vendor or whatever that wakes you up, it's like, oh yeah, blah, blah, blah. He's introducing himself. And he's like, oh, well, here's like a quest I want you to go do for me. You know, go meet up with this, you know, group of my guys out in the fucking wilderness, and there's some bandits out there we want you to go take care of. Just clear out the fucking bandit camp. But you're not going to be alone. I know you're just starting. So go fucking meet up with these four or five friendly soldiers. And go kill like a half a dozen fucking enemies in this camp or whatever. And you know, in any other fucking, especially modern game, I think you see something like that, like, oh, it's gonna go to this fucking starting area. You know, the fucking enemies can't be that bad. Only a few of them. Like, this should be a fucking cakewalk. And you know, the first time, like, I go meet the fucking the friendly fucking soldiers or whatever. I'm just like, oh, you know, we're gonna follow you, or whatever. Or follow us. We're gonna stay behind us. And they're like kind of walking. They're walking kind of slow. I'm like, I gotta fucking wait for them. Who cares? They're just gonna fucking blow right through this. I can probably run in there, guns blazing, and just take out the camp single handedly. I'm a fucking Call of Duty master at this point. So, go in there, I'm just fucking fucking dead within seconds. So, yeah, just the character just drops before I know what the fuck is going on. So, I'm like, okay, so it's going to be like that, I guess. And if I reload a save and It's like, all right, I guess I'll let them go in first and do that. And like, even they got fucking slaughtered. You know what I mean? It's like they took out a few of the enemies, but it's fucking just like, no, they still get fucking murdered. My guys get murdered. Yeah. And Stalker, you have to be like very slow and strategic and take cover. And, Stalker is like that lean mechanic that I talked about, which isn't in the new fucking, speaking of Call of Duty. I'm like, I think the old ones had it where you could like lean, you use like Q and E to lean left and right and shit. You kind of peek out behind walls. You can do that here. Like you need to do that. None of the guns are very accurate. That's by design. I mean, they're rusted pieces of shit that you're finding and using that are like half broken. So you can be like aiming for somebody's head, and it's like, all right, fucking perfect headshot lined up, even like through like a scope or whatever. It's like, all right, fucking shooting. And it's just fucking, you see bullet holes like hitting the walls, and it'll be like 2 feet above their head, and you shoot another one, and it's fucking like, you know, to the left of them, to the right of them, behind them and shit. So it's like, well, we either have to get closer so that spread's not going to be as bad, and if you get too close, that they're going to be shooting at you, and if they hit you, you're probably going to be getting fucked up, or you just like go behind a wall and you crouch down to try to minimize the recoil as much as you can, and you're leaning out and trying to just like keep shooting until you get a fucking like hit. And if you get a headshot, even like a pretty weak gun, like the headshots to drop most people in a couple hits, you know, or like an instant kill sometimes, you know what I mean? So I think it's very plain Stalker now. I find it very interesting. I do like it a lot. I'm actually pretty sucked into it right now. Again, it's kind of started up. I'm like, I'll check this game out. I'll probably get pissed again. It's probably going to be old and shitty, but it's fucking, hey, once you stop playing it, yeah, it's fucking pretty hooked in there. I like the world. Again, just the post-apocalyptic shit in general. I'm really liking it. I think we'll go deeper into the zone next week, but right now my brain is boiling from all the radiation I've been exposed to. You can get your I told you, this fucking just radiated, melted fucking brain. Set your Geiger counters to www.gruntfreepress.com, and you can send me a Stalker suit to podcast@gruntfreepress.com. I'm Absolute Deicide. I am an experienced loner and a suspected replicant, but don't believe everything that you read in the newspaper.
Vas a comprender que tienen todo bien atado con jarabe de porra curarán los